What's it like out there in the West? What's it like being a buckaroo wiling out in the Albuquerque, Santa Fe, New Mexico? Well, I didn't go there. Either way, we're going West Coast, baby. We're having a good time. We're enjoying the delicious dry desert, and we're taking care of business in Los Angeles, in Albuquerque, and all over the world. We're figuring it out. It's Weekend at Effie's, baby. To see my king upon that cross. You know these songs? Yeah, I got a party shut down one time because I was dressed up for Halloween as a pastor, and I brought a bag of wine. I got hammered, and I just kept getting everybody to sing praise and worship songs while they were drunk. And then the cops showed up, and I didn't get to fuck this guy because the cops shut the party down because I was pretending to be Christian and singing Christian songs. I hope it's not recording yet.
It most certainly has been recording since you were singing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's deceptive, Peter. That's quite deceptive. I just want to say, if you were wondering if summer is here, well, it's very close. I got to promise you, because I went outside this morning. I sent you the video. The termite nest has erupted.
They're heading to the south for the summer.
They were coming out of that fucking pile of old, dirty old logs, and it was swarmed. And then they were gone by then, so I was like, oh, I really witnessed something. Like, I witnessed, like, the hatching out of the nest or whatever.
Do you know how they say it's, like, 27 years and we don't have cicadas or something?
Yeah, 17 years.
But isn't it, like, every year that that happens?
But it's different breedings of the cicadas. So the cicadas are 17 years, but there's different steps.
So you're telling me it's not as special as they're saying it is?
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's like certain ones hatch every 17 years, but they didn't line it up so that it's only 17 years.
Right.
Like, we're getting like one a year because there's 17 years in between them, but not them, because
it
was already.
I think that's deceptive.
Okay. Well, I think we should be able to eat cicadas because they seem like a good protein source.
We're probably going to have to.
Ooh, did you see, have you ever seen, it's not Ice Road Truckers, what is the, with the train, Ice Train? Chris Evans on the Ice Train?
Snowpiercer.
Snowpiercer, they do be eating bugs.
They do be eating bugs.
So, we've seen the termites today. Now, flies, good protein, termites, probably good protein?
Yeah.
Well, you don't eat the wings.
No, you don't eat the wings. Because okay. When I was in Kenya, we had these things called flying ants, which actually were termites with wings.
Yeah.
And they would always swarm after it would rain.
Yeah, these
and
had so big wings today.
We would go to like the street light and, you know, pick up a bunch of them. Yeah. And then you fry them in butter.
And pretty good.
Popcorn.
We're going to have to get there. We're working that way. Because I saw, I almost bought cashews today. And it was $7 for cashews. And I said, go fuck yourself. And then I ate a full pound of ground beef. Yeah. I'd mix some corn in it. That's probably not good.
I think the corn was maybe the worst part.
Yeah, I put a bag of corn in with a pound of ground beef, and that was my lunch. You think that's healthy?
I mean, I had rice and cheese and tortillas and chicken for dinner, so.
That's pretty good. That's like it's a Spanish fine. Feast.
It's fine.
Yeah. I had a big weekend. Did you have a big weekend? You had a big...
Yeah, 420.
420. Oh, 420. Yeah.
Still recovering from...
Yeah, as you should.
Fuck all of that.
Listen, I just want to say to all you stoners out there, okay? Yeah, there's great sales. Yeah, there's a lot going on. Okay, but the next time you want to go buy legal-specific marijuana products, just remember, I can't do that, and go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to say about that. Is that egotistical of me? Yeah, it is. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't fucking care.
It's if you're in one of the states that isn't legal and you've noticed all the Delta stuff, it is kind of a nightmare to explain any of it to anybody. So it's like 10 times a day I get accused of selling fake weed, and so maximize that by a gazillion on Saturday.
Well, what do they think is fake about it?
They think because I'm selling it, it's not actually weed.
But it is. It's just been chemically slightly altered, and it's...
Not even. It's just grown from the hemp plant. That's the only
difference. But it still gets you...
Yeah. Because the loophole that we're running... And this is why I really think that we are... The cat is out of the bag on all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Is the loophole is that because I didn't light it up, I can sell it.
the government is still trying to suppress me. And I'll tell you what. You know what it's done? It's made me fucking jacked. I eat meat all the time. I'm constantly antsy and I scream a lot.
Did you know that there is a TikTok lawyer that specializes in cases like yours and is just basically they've been like the ones spreading information about the insane thing that you walked into with that?
Could they help me?
Probably.
For money, though.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I don't have a lot of money right now.
Yeah.
I spent some money. Yeah. I'm still waiting on a few payments to come to me. Either way, it doesn't matter. I will say this. I've been spending more time at the gym. Very clear-minded. And in today's economy, today's social universe, I don't want to be clear-minded. All right? It's not benefiting me to know, to be aware of everything.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
My senses are heightened.
Uh-huh.
I had to pass a drug, not a drug test, a physical this weekend. With the New Mexico board, even though I'd already done a physical and done a form and done a everything blood test. And they were like, your blood pressure is a little high. And I was like, have you been outside? Have you seen the earth? And yeah, he suggested I smoke weed. So I can't do that. Really. Either way, we'll get into it.
It's just upside down land. Like we just live in upside
down. We live in upside down land. Four more years, pause, shake hands with a ghost. Shit your diaper in court. That's the choices we have. And here's what I'm going to say. You told me that somewhat soon they're going to be getting rid of these flavor vapes, nicotine.
Yeah, we have basically a year.
And, you know, AJ has, he's tried to suggest that I give up the nicotine vapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of yell, do you want me to have nothing, right?
Yeah.
Do you want me to have nothing? Yeah. I have nothing, okay? Yeah. All I have is this little fucking flavor vape to suck on, and I'm crazy, and I'm fired up all the time, and this is the only thing that calms me, and I'm living on scraps here, because this thing's running out. And what I want to say is, I didn't know that I would one day be tempted to become a domestic terrorist, but if they take away my flavored nicotine vapes, I'm losing it.
Okay, it's even worse than you think. It's the three big cigarette companies want to do the business. So all of that stuff will still be going. So there will probably be flavored.
You can't even get menthol in California anymore. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Can't even smoke menthol. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess more space traveling. Or is that was false? That's a falsehood?
That was false.
Oh, God.
If you smoke menthol cigarettes, you can, in fact, be an astronaut.
So
I hope I really open up dreams for somebody.
Yeah, I was singing I was crying singing Rocket Man because I thought I could never be a Rocket Man because I was smoking a lot of Newports. You know what my favorite cigarette on vacation was? If I knew I was vacationing, Kools.
Kools.
I get two packs of Kools if I'm going on vacation. And that's like mentally, I would know I'm on vacation because I'm smoking Kools. You get a blue pack and a green pack. Both types of menthol.
Both types.
Yeah, you do the green first and then you migrate to the blue.
Did you ever do the bisexual cigarettes, the Camel Crushes?
Oh, God, boy, did I. Boy, did I. Did you ever have the Camel Number 9s?
Yeah.
The pink ones?
Yeah,
Those are lovely.
Yeah. I was so deep on the cigarette degeneracy that I was getting European, like Turkish Delight or whatever they were, the Camels.
Yeah.
I was getting them from Moldova.
Oh, what?
For like pennies on the dollar.
They would ship them to you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, in Germany, you can get a 72-pack of cigarettes, and it's just like a giant box. I was talking to Jordan Oliver about it, and I was like, where do you even put it? And he was like, yeah, you get bigger pockets, which I thought was funny. Camel Wides, those were great for a while. No, you're not a Camel Wide?
No.
Camel Wide menthols?
No, I remember that being a mistake.
No, they're good. They're thick, like a cigar.
Do you remember the Camel Reds? They were just the discounted ones.
With the K? The K Camel Reds.
Yeah.
Yeah, those tasted like dog shit.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I would smoke them.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, college. Yeah, but that we also would tape 40s to our hands and, you know, force ourselves to overdrink. It was a dark time.
We did the Gandalf wand.
Oh, yeah. I tried to do that 3 occasions, blacked out every time. And I think it's harder when you're taller, but you'd think you would have a higher tolerance for the beer if you're taller, but you don't. Mm-mm. And making a wand as tall as you. I never got past the Helm's Deep portion of the second movie.
Yeah.
Did you do it while watching Lord of the Rings?
No. We did it
while watching Lord of the Rings.
We were just stacking.
And I would always black out by about the big second battle.
We made a waterless gravity bong.
Okay, how'd that work?
So you know, like a dryer coil to like hook it up to the wall to get the heat. Goo.
She needs you to grab her little butt. The dogs are wild tonight. The energy is in the air. What is that? What are you doing?
Okay. All right. So it was like 6 feet of dryer coil with half of a 2 liter on either end, duct tape around.
What?
And so then you would take, you know, the socket wrench that you would use for a regular, like water gravity bong, but you'd get a really big one, put it in the top, and you would compress the whole thing down.
Oh my gosh.
Stuff as much as you could in there. You would have to have 2 people to do it.
Like an accordion.
And this so we would snake this thing all the way around.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the real name of this band, so I'm going to give people might be able to figure this out. Goodbye, Hello. You think you know what I'm talking about?
Isn't that a Beatles song?
We invited them over for a house party one time, and then we built a 5-gallon jug in a bucket. A gravity bong called Galactus, and we all smoked out of that. Pretty wild, but it's not who you think, probably. Goodbye, Hello. You know, was it too obvious?
Maybe a little.
Bonjour, adios.
There you go.
Bonjour, adios came over. We smoked out of a 5-gallon gravity bong. I miss smoking weed.
Oh God.
One day again I shall. But I also know at this point, like if I took one puff of weed, I would be on the floor for 6 to 7 days.
Yeah, you know,
like the days of me smoking a blunt and then wrestling, it's done. I've cut that out of my brain.
I remember when I had my government enforced tolerance break.
Yeah.
I remember the first day that I was back going, did I ever enjoy this?
Did it just send you into the full panic?
This is insane. People do this for fun?
Oh, all right, good. Well, maybe it's cured me forever, but maybe not. I don't know. I found alternate ways to have fun. Counting, multiplication, holding my breath as long as I can. Mm-hmm. I think that's been a good one.
Yeah.
Eating a pound of ground beef by myself, you know, as fast as I can. So just healthy stuff that, you know, is filling the time. I don't want to beat around the bush too long. We haven't even talked about the beautiful adventures.
Yeah.
This is Weekend at Effie's and, you know, Weekend at PTAR's. Sorry you had to deal with what you had to deal with.
It's fine.
Stoners, it's fine. Not the best customers.
The stoners are okay.
It's the...
It's the white people. It's the old white people.
Doing
whippets.
It's
the boomers.
That's what they're doing.
The whippets are fine. Just
I suggest boomers
stealing.
Do more whippets. Boomers are stealing?
No. It's all not right. The boomers that are stealing the whippets.
Well, yeah, I know who's stealing the whippets. We're not allowed to talk about that because of a legal government sanction to keep us shut. All right, well, this weekend I'm going to be in New York City. I'm very excited. I was explaining to you what I was doing this weekend in New York City.
It sounds fun.
It does sound fun. I'm going to go see One of Tricks Point Never, hopefully.
And no whippet slander, but take B12 vitamins.
If you're doing whippets, take B12s. I might do a little whippets.
It's fine.
One time this senator's son, I told you about this, right? We've talked about this. He did whippets at this party.
Yes.
And he was about to die.
Yes.
And he just left. I was like, I'm not going to be a part of this. Get out of here. I'm not taking you to the hospital. I'm not being a part of this shit. Okay. So might do a little whippets. It's legal, right?
It's legal to make whipped cream
from
with nitrous oxide that you buy from.
It's not
store.
Legal to suck it out of a thing.
It is absolutely not legal to suck it out of
a
can.
Or to fill a balloon and then suck it in and go see Base Nectar.
It is legal to go to your dentist and get medical grade nitrous oxide, which is great. I've had laughing gas before.
This one time, I'm not going to say who this wrestler was, but he went to a convenience store in England and he thought they were energy shots and they weren't. It was poppers. And then he chugged a whole canister of poppers and then passed out in the road. and he's fine. But yeah, it's not a good night for him. Yeah, he drank it.
But I had to go to the hospital, right?
Nah, he's strong. He's a tough
guy. Oh my God.
He's a tough guy. Oh, pretty tough guy. Just
it's just straight chemicals.
He went, oh, it doesn't taste good. And then it was poppers that he drank. Don't drink poppers.
Don't drink poppers.
They're for cleaning VHS tapes.
They are. And VHS removing nail polish.
Removing nail polish.
But probably don't use poppers to remove nail
polish. Well, either way, I'm going to go. We're going to the New York Book Fair, which is like a block party book fair thing.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be signing books and doing what's been referred to as a performance, which I've been practicing songs from Cats.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
you tried to get me to watch Cats.
Never
the other
would
night.
You have. I made AJ watch parts of Cats. A cat so clever as magical Mr. Mustafa's. Bam, bam, bam. Oh well, it's a really good play. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Mm-mm.
But the songs are good.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I'm going to be at JCW fighting Brandon Kirk. And I've told his wife already. Probably not going to be any kissing in that match. Wink. And then Sunday, we are doing the opening of the visitors gallery, which is going to be very cool. 6 to 8 p.m., a roundtable questionnaire with me and Jimmy and Joey and Masha and Jordan and Ali Katch. And then we're going to all go eat an Italian dinner. Now, that's a private part of the function. You cannot come to the Italian dinner, folks listening at home. But just know, I'm going to be eating pasta, tiramisu, maybe a panna cotta. Might have a non-alcoholic spritzer. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of excitement on the horizon. But this weekend, the weekend we were discussing, I went out west, cowboy style. I went back to Los Angeles, and I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Albuquerque. Which I referred to as Albuquerque, because gay. Albuquerque. But then somebody said, we call it Albuquerque.
That's
which is better.
Yeah.
It was much better. So this LA trip, though, I had some wrestlers texting me like, hey, when do you leave on Friday? And I was like, oh, I don't leave till Saturday. So I did not leave Atlanta until 3:30 p.m. Then I had to go through Charlotte. Then I had to fly out west. I landed at 5 p.m. The show was at 8. Now, Los Angeles traffic, pretty bad. And I had to pick some people up. So I got a big car, got an Expedition because I'm executive elite. Picked up a few people, including Kerry Morton. Now, I do have to rewind here because a lot of people are saying, wait a second. Didn't you have an insane celebrity interaction in the Charlotte airport? I did. So I went to the gate. Kerry Morton texted me and said, where are you? I said, I'm on your flight. I'm coming. I sat down. And me and Kerry Morton, we're just shooting the shit. You know, we're wrestlers. We're workers, okay? Kerry Morton's dad, who he refers to, Ricky Morton, he refers to his dad as rock and roll. I said, what are you doing tomorrow? He goes, well, after I get back from the show, I'm going to meet up with rock and roll. We're going to go do a show in West Virginia. And he just calls him rock and roll, which is...
It's awesome.
It's so sick. Like, it's the coolest thing ever. We're sitting down, and we start shooting the breeze about the biz.
You should call your dad hip-hop.
There are 100 other genres of music to call my dad besides hip hop. It would not work. One time my dad had a Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell duet CD and a Hall & Oates greatest hit CD. And he said, that's the only two CDs you need.
He's very selective about his media.
He is very selective about his media.
I'd respect that.
He also really loves Seinfeld. And so I tried to get him onto Curb Your Enthusiasm and he goes, I don't need all that cursing. He goes, it's probably funny. I don't need all the cursing. Bobby, come here. That's not yours anymore. You've given it up to the Pirate Queen. So we sit down, and I just want to, I don't know how to put this. We're having a very wrestling conversation, which is a little rowdy, okay? It's a little rowdy.
Sure.
And I'm not looking at who's next to me, but they have a banjo. And that's all I really notice. And we're sitting and we're having one of those. Like, you could, if you were next to us, we're not talking loud for the sake of it, but you could definitely hear our conversation, which is once again a little rowdy. We're talking about promoters and money and women and men and activities and just the wild style stuff of the road. And a man comes up to the guy next to us and was like, sir, I don't want to bother you, but I'm a huge fan. And he starts naming all these movies. And I'm going, wait a second, who the fuck is sitting next to me? Didn't have any clue. And he gets up and he looks at us and he goes, you gentlemen, be careful out there and have a good time. And I said, thank you, sir. And he walks away and I'm going, I know this guy. I've seen this guy many times. Well, it's Dermot Mulroney, famed character actor and rom-com star Dermot Mulroney with his banjo for some reason.
Incredible.
Sitting next to me and Carrie Morton, and clearly heard our whole conversation because he told us to be careful. Which was just the loveliest thing to hear from famed character actor Dermot Mulroney. And I just want to say, if you're wondering what I was wondering, which is how do that man's eyebrows hold up in the year 2024? Perfectly. And if you're also wondering, here's the second thing a lot of people are wondering. How much more tall and jacked are you than regular sized character actor Dermot Mulroney? I am so fucking tall and jacked compared to Dermot Mulroney. No shade to him. Okay, he looks great. He's aged perfectly. He's got a banjo, which just became a part of the weekend. People just kept having banjos everywhere I was going. I texted you three times about people with banjos.
Yeah.
Like it was just the thing that was coming up. And he was on our flight. It was very cool. You know, they're people just like us. They have to fly American Airlines. They have connections. They got to get back to Hollywood. But we did land in time. Me and Carrie Morton and some other people.
What's your favorite Dermot Mulroney role?
Young Guns.
Young Guns. Ooh, that's
Young
a
Guns
good
fucks.
One. That is
But
a
apparently
good one.
He's in the new Glenn Powell, Sydney Sweeney rom-com as well.
I see that.
Now I want to see it because somebody was watching it on my plane. And it wasn't Dermot Mulroney. He was not watching himself in the film. Somebody was watching it on the plane. And I said, you know what? Actually, I want to see this. Anyone But You, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want to see it now. I think we watch it. It's probably on digital soon. We can probably do a watch along. We had fun watching a rom-com the other day.
I'm sorry. He is in a movie that is 13 minutes long called Monster Challenge that is directed by famed composer Michael Giacchino. And the plot of it is famed composer Michael Giacchino catapults a hapless Patton Oswalt as himself into an outrageous series of challenges in his infectiously silly tribute to the eccentricities of Japanese game shows.
Sounds awesome.
Sounds awesome. I'm going to
find I think we can probably find that on YouTube. So I got to Los Angeles and Brett called me and he said, hey, can you pick up two?
I was really hoping you're going to say My Best Friend's Wedding.
My Best Friend's Wedding is a good movie, but I'm never going to, like, the rom-coms are never going to be the top of the line for me. Sorry, famed character actor Dermot Mulroney.
But it has your favorite human in that movie.
Fuck Julia Roberts. That stupid fucking, ugh. Such a scumbag piece of shit.
Do you know?
You know she left her husband on his wedding day and ran away from him as a bride? It's disgusting. Did I know what?
That President Jimmy Carter paid for her birth.
What?
This is a fact I've told you many times.
I know, and I just, you know why I won't maintain it in my mind? Because I don't want to know anything about that slimy, scumbag, nepotism freak show, Julia Roberts. And you're saying nepotism? Who's she related to? Well, Jimmy Carter paid for her to be born. Sounds like fucking nepotism to me. Julia Roberts, I will never, ever forgive you for what you've done. I will never allow you to be around my children. I will never see your movies on purpose. And if I happen to come across you, I will boo loudly in the theater. You are nothing. You deserve nothing. You know how Anthony Hopkins would write NAR, no acting required?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's done, her whole career has been zero acting, and she didn't even purposefully decide that. She just can't act. The only thing she can be is Julia Roberts. Name any other role where she's been anything but Julia Roberts. And don't say Erin Brockovich, because that's just Julia Roberts with bigger titties.
I mean...
Yeah, I told you. You can't even think of it.
She literally plays Julia Roberts in Ocean's 12.
Yeah. All right, think about Cate Blanchett. She's played Tar. She's played Galadriel. She's played... what was that other movie she was in? Exactly. Many movies.
Curious Case of Benjamin Buttons.
She fucks that old man baby. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't.
Ugh, it's gross. We should watch it.
Yeah, I kind of want to.
It's so nasty.
Yeah.
Ugh, fuck.
What if it's good, though?
It's good because it's so gross and so nasty.
Okay. I'll watch. Well, Greasy Strangler is up next week. Let's just
We are going to be strangling the grease. I have seen Greasy Strangler. I'm so excited for you to see it. It is disgusting. Much like Benjamin Button, disgusting. So that'll be fun. Hopefully you're as disgusted as I want you to be. That's the hope. That's the goal. That's the dream. So we pick up Too Cold Scorpio, right? Now, before I said, hey, Scorp, you good to get picked up? And it's already like late. Like, we're going to be late. And he said, give me like 15 minutes. It's 4:20. I'm going to let Scorpio roll one up. Mm-hmm. I said, do you need anything from the gas station, Scorp? And he said, yeah, I need a 5-hour energy and I need a water. I said, no problem, Scorp. Well, at this point, Scorp thinks he's hung up. And he goes, I've got it on speakerphone because it's, you know, the car play.
Yeah.
I've got the other wrestlers in the car. At this point, he thinks he's hung up and he goes, man, that Effie, that boy knows how to take care of me. He's always taking care of everything. That's my kind of dude. And I just kind of looked around the car. I was like, huh, am I? I am that kind of dude. So then he gets in the car with us and Kerry Morton, we're just talking about wrestling. And Kerry's
so cute.
It's so cute. It's adorable. I've known him forever, but it's also like he's a legend. Like he's done this for 50 years. He's so fucking sick. He's wrestled everyone. Hint this next story. Kerry Morton goes, you know, I love those matches that you didn't expect to happen, but that you find them and you're like, damn, this is sick. Like the other day I came across a match that was Andre the Giant in Mexico fighting Yokozuna. He goes, I didn't know that match happened. Yokozuna was on the come up. Andre was kind of winding down his career. And Scorp chimes in and goes, Mexico? And we go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I was there. I did a couple 6-man matches with him. Andre, man, he was old, but he would beat the hell out of you. He didn't even mean to. And then he started telling us stories about being in Tokyo with Andre the Giant and Vader, and they would give him like $500 and be like, go get us whiskey at McDonald's. And like by the get me McDonald's, he'd be like, it'd be like 20 Big Mac combos.
Oh,
like you'd have to get so much McDonald's and so much whiskey. And he'd go, and they'd tell me just to keep the change. And even if I bought all of that, I'd still have like $200 left. And they didn't give a shit. And they would just let me have it. He said, you better believe I was running around Tokyo getting whatever the fuck they wanted. They would just give me everything I needed. And you're going, here's Kerry Morton going, isn't it crazy this match happened? And then the man in the back seat's going, yeah, I was there for all of it and participated in some of it. God. And he used to pay me to get him McDonald's. He told me also that Andre one time in a car ride in Tokyo, that was an hour and a half to the airport, Andre drank a whole case of wine. A case of wine. That's 12 bottles of wine. He would just, he goes, I don't even think he was that drunk. This man was so large, he could just drink bottles of wine like they were cans of beer and would put him down, hour and a half ride, drink a case of wine.
I mean, that was always the story, was like 2 barrels of beer and it would barely do anything.
Yeah, they said he would start with 2 cases of beer and that was just like a slight warm up. And then he would start wanting whiskey.
I said barrels because it sounds like a cartoon. Yeah. Like, yeah. It doesn't even sound real.
Like kegs, just like full, just like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible. You know what, though? If I was 8 feet tall, guess what? You better fucking give me some beer.
Yeah.
Because I got to get through your little ass doors. I'm not even that big, and shit is sometimes too small for me. Uh-huh. And I've been to Japan, and it's even smaller. If I was Andre the Giant in Japan, I'd have to be hammered. Because everywhere you go, you've got to just like crouch. Is incredible. We got to the show as doors were opening, which I've been doing this a lot more recently where I'm like getting to the show too late. And part of me is stressed out because I'm like, usually I have more time. But then the other part of me is like, it's kind of nice not being at this venue all fucking day. Because usually I'd get up here about 4 and then doors are at 7 and then shows at 8 and then I wrestle at 9 or 10 and then I get out of there by midnight and I get to the hotel at 1 and that's a much longer process. And luckily, I got there at 7. We got everything figured out. We were match 2. Allie had to leave on a red eye to go home. But we did fight the Stoner Brothers on 420 in Los Angeles. And many people are wondering, how could you beat the Stoner Brothers on 420? How about because I'm not fucking high? How about I'm not fucking stoned as shit? Allie accidentally got stoned in the match. And couldn't function.
Oh, no.
Now, it worked in our favor. We did play a little trick on the boys, but they are big boys. They are like 6'3", 300-pound giant boys. Now, are you familiar with the wordplay of the Stoner Brothers? So the Steiner Brothers are the... No. One of them I got removed from WrestleCon for being transphobic.
Rick
Steiner.
Right.
And his brother is also transphobic, but they didn't hear about that in public. But... I can only handle so much. You know, like there's only so much I can do to police the world. But they are Rick Steiner and Scott Steiner. So these brothers are Rick Scott Stoner and Scott Rick Stoner, the Stoner Brothers. And they dress like the Steiner Brothers, but they're stoned and they're fucking awesome. They're original Hood Slam boys. They go way back with Sheik. I've known them for years. And I've been kind of pitching to get them involved in GCW because I think they are exactly in our brand of just like absolute mayhem. She knows we're up to something. And of course, the fans loved it. The fans loved Bussy. The fans loved the Stoner Brothers. We had a sick little match. And the rest of the card was sick as well. It was a very good 420 show. There was a lot of fun to be had. And after the show, I had the expedition still. And we were not flying out till the next morning. So I actually got to hang out in Los Angeles for a little bit longer. Not like hang out in Los Angeles, but we did go to Jack in the Box, got food. Now we got to the hotel. And the
What's
lady.
Jack in the Box order?
Oh, I got a chicken bacon ranch club sandwich, two tacos, an order of churros, a large Diet Coke. And I want to say I didn't get a milkshake. Gage got a milkshake. It was me, Nick Gage, Jordan Oliver, and Cheek. We were a hell of a car.
What flavor milkshake did Nick Gage get?
Vanilla. Now, he got fruit punch, regular as a drink, and he got a vanilla milkshake. And he also got, you ready for this? They don't have a 20-piece nuggets, so I got him two 10-piece nuggets combo. He's like, I was like, you want a 10-piece? And he's like, not enough nuggets.
Fruit punch.
He's the man. Little barbecue sauce on the side. He loves it. But we get to the hotel. We've gotten our food. It's getting late, obviously. And we have the confirmation. This hotel is paid for through Priceline. It's all handled. And we get inside, and the lady says, we're overbooked. I go, what? She's like, we're overbooked. I go, well, I have a confirmation for this. She goes, it doesn't matter. We're overbooked. You're not staying here. So I call Brett, and he says, well, just like call a few hotels, see what you can find. So I call a few. The first four hotels I call, no reservations, no openings, nothing. And I'm going, it's 1 a.m. I'm already not having fun. But then I call a Courtyard Marriott, and they had two rooms, and they worked it out for us. And we got in the room. We got to sleep. We got magic. What is this? Sorry, we're handling business over here. Me and AJ are working on bribing you later, so just know it's coming. I just had to answer that. not for this weekend, but for next weekend. Okay. We're working on some bribes. I forgot what I was saying. We went to bed. Whatever. We ate Jack in the Box. We went to bed. I hung out with Dark Sheik. It was great. I love hanging out with Sheik. We did merch after the show together, and it was like all love to Allie. Me and Sheik are so efficient at doing merch together. It was just like somebody would be like, I want that Sheik shirt. And I'd be like, here, pay me this. And then I'd hand her the money and like keep the digital and do the, like, it was magic.
Do you know what Sheik's astrology is?
No, but I'm sure she would be happy to tell you.
Okay. I also am about ready to start working on my wrestling dissertation. So need to get some info dumps.
Someone messaged me today about doing an interview on the homosocial spaces wrestling creates for their doctorate thesis. And I think I have to participate.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds sick. Like, I don't want to just like do any interview for free these days, but if you're doing a doctorate on that, like, that's,
yeah, that's really cool.
It seems great. So we're going to, I'm reaching back out. Just give me a second. Now, we were not flying out of LAX the next day. LAX, when we got to Terminal 5, I announced out loud to Kerry Morton, when you die and you don't believe in Jesus, this is where you go. It's fucking Terminal 5 at LAX. Not all the terminals are horrible. LAX, not my favorite place in the world. And you know what? The first few times I went there, the glow of Los Angeles, you know, tricked me.
Uh-huh.
But now, flying into LAX, Terminal 5, I just want to fall down the fucking escalator and take a disability check. Honest to God. Now, it is the same terminal that I saw Bill Murray in. But I also, part of me thinks he was stuck in hell. Like, right. I don't know. Was he killed and in hell? We don't know. But we got to fly out of the secret Hollywood airport, the Bob Hope, which she goes, who the fuck is Bob Hope? And I go, he's like a comedian before they had jokes. Like, it was bad. It was so bad back then that Bob Hope would just come out on stage and be like, looks like we've got a war on. And people would be like, and be like, how's about the economy? And they'd be like, you didn't have to have jokes. People were just laughing because they were so excited by like someone having a microphone that made sound and people being able to be on a stage.
Yeah.
So he's a comedian before they had any jokes.
My grandfather was a writer for him.
So he didn't write him jokes then, did he?
He did write him jokes.
Oh, what
but
were jokes
you know,
like back then?
My grandfather was also credited as the creator of the Tonight Show monologue. And now that sounds like a big achievement on paper, but he was just the guy that happened to be there to go, hey, you should say some stuff.
Are you saying that the movie Late Night with the Devil would not really exist without your grandfather?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Or whoever else would have done what he did.
Whoever else was standing there.
You know his entry into the entertainment world?
No.
He was a drummer. You know what? My grandfather couldn't drum. He just showed up with a drum. They let him start drumming, and he turned that into a writing career.
So Bob Hope was a comedian.
He was
just a guy that was there, and they started handing him things to say.
Yes.
Can you say stuff? I think so. Well, just say this. Okay, sounds good. But I love, she was like, that's a great description. So we flew out of the Bob Hope Burbank Airport.
Okay.
Which, here's my one complaint. All right. Small airport, got through so quick, checked my bags, everything's cool. The bathrooms there are also small that you just got to wait.
Yeah.
And I don't like waiting for a toilet.
No.
And LAX, like, they got more toilets there. Here, there's like, you know, it's like three toilets we passed had two stalls in each. That's not enough toilets.
No.
So I don't know what Bob Hope was up to, but I think he just wanted people to stand in each other's stench.
Well, according to my grandfather, when he would pay his riders, he would go to the very top of a tall staircase, and he would take the checks out, and he would throw them down like he was feeding his dogs.
So he was a dick.
He was a dick.
Oh, my God.
Sorry if you're a huge Bob Hope fan.
If I met Bob Hope in person, I'd punch him in his fucking dick. Punch him square in the balls. All right. And I know he was helpful for the soldiers back in the day. The war was on, but they don't even have a draft anymore. So if you're signing up to be in the war so you can meet Bob Hope, sorry, he's dead, number one. And number two, now it's Kathy Griffin. Good luck.
Ooh.
No shade, but like, it doesn't sound fun.
No.
You know, once a year WWE comes and does tribute to the troops, like, suck my fucking dick. Rey Mysterio and an American flag? Come on. What is this? He's Mexican. What are we doing? Why are we forcing people to be jingoist? It's fucking crazy. So I would say don't support the military industrial system. And Bob Hope, not funny. But great airport.
Great airport.
Besides the bathrooms. Now, did I eat a bunch of Twizzlers before I got on this morning flight? Sure did. Did we have to go through Phoenix? Sure did. Why do I even bring that up? Because they lost my fucking merch bag. Yeah. Not only was I debuting in a new state, New Mexico, in Albuquerque, not only were we wrestling in the building that Better Call Saul's offices in Breaking Bad were set, not only did Manders go to a chicken restaurant and say, man, that place was good, and then immediately find out from someone there that it was also the location of Los Pollos Hermanos from Breaking Bad. Albuquerque's Breaking Bad city territory. We did not go to the Breaking Bad house because we heard the lady will scream at you. I didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm not into this.
Yeah.
But we did wrestle in the Better Call Saul building. I landed. I was sad. We picked everybody up, went to the venue, and I had a big match that night. I had a title match that night. I was main event that night against Blake Christian. I just want to say, if you watched that match, you know. If you didn't watch that match, you don't know. And listen, I know what happened at the end of the match. All right? Kind of expected. Piece of shit Mancer came out, fucked everything up. See my head go through that chair?
He had a joint put out on his third eye in the previous match, right?
He did with Dark Sheik. She's a legend. She's a fucking legend. I had to go save her, though, and we tag-teamed his ass, got him out of there. But he did run in. My nose is so itchy. It's the springtime, summertime fucking allergetics are killing me right now.
Mm-hmm. Same.
People are thinking I'm just over here picking my nose, and I'm just like,
We need to get some local honey. I'll work on that.
Or what's the other stuff called? Zyrtec?
Yeah.
I'll do both.
The honey will be pretty effective,
though. Okay. Either way, she's come over to me now. I'm going to let her.
She heard us talking about allergies and go, so I can relate to that.
Yeah, well. Had the main event spot. Me and Blake Christian had a full 20-minute match. Incredible. Went all out. I don't usually run that much in the wrestling ring. Not because I can't, clearly, because I don't need to. I don't need to run that much. But that boy had me ducking and dodging and reversing and flipping and moving and grooving and doing, and I had to keep up with him. And I kept up with him, and then it was all ruined. I had the victory. The ref got taken out accidentally by me. Okay. Chill. Dogs. They're wild. I had the fans behind me. People were excited. And it was taken from me. Now, do I think it's my last chance to win the title at GCW? I hope not. Do I think it's going to be a little few and far between from now and then? Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. But I do know next week, May 3rd, last man standing, me and Mance Warner, in the same building where my head was cracked open and needed 8 staples, last man standing. Now, what kind of match was it the first time where your head got cracked open? Regular match. What kind of match was it at Philadelphia? I quit match. Did I quit for me? No. I quit for Allie so she wouldn't die. She knows that. I wouldn't have quit. To my own detriment, I wouldn't have quit. I would have died. Okay? Just know that. Or I would have killed him. I don't know. But now, last man standing. Do you know how a last man standing match works?
Tim Allen comes out.
Yeah.
Sorry, no. I was sitting on that one.
It's yeah, he is the last man standing. A lot of people don't know this about Tim Allen. He digs up his butthole and eats his own feces in between takes.
Uh-huh.
So he even does that during Toy Story as Buzz Lightyear. To infinity, and then you can hear him go, and Tim Allen eats his own poop because he's a narc. He's a snitch. He's a,
yeah, I was going to say he was the original choice over Patton Oswalt for Ratatouille.
Because he's such a rat.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. He said, "This I'm being typecast here. We can't do this."
Yeah, he's such a piece of shit. He deserves nothing. You know what would improve the home? You know what would be a good home improvement? Kicking Tim Allen out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And did you know Jonathan Taylor Thomas? He's old enough now. Okay. We were the same age. Now we're the same age. Now it's legal. So what's up, JTT?
If you want to save your childhood, don't Google current Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
No, no, no. You should. Have you not seen him? Does he look good? Is this bad? Do I not want to see this?
I mean, I did just say don't do it.
I'm doing it. I'm Googling him right now. Can I say something?
Yes.
I still would. I still would. You know? I don't know. It's just like a dude.
Yeah, he's just a dude now.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a little disappointing.
All right. It's not heavy. I don't want to get into it. We're not going to look up all the old child stars. But I don't know. Like, I'd suck that guy's dick. I don't know. That's fine.
Have you seen Twink Jesse Plemons?
What?
Yeah. Look up current Jesse Plemons. He hopped on the
Ozempic game?
Yeah.
I can't do the Ozempic thing because I like food too much.
What even is it? It came out like a few months ago. And
it's a diabetes medication that's supposed to keep your blood sugar down.
Okay.
By decreasing attitude. Oh, yeah, he is twinked out. That boy will just jump around weight like Christian Bale. Somebody said he's our Philip Seymour Hoffman.
I agree.
Philip Seymour Hoffman was never a twink like this.
He's
you know, he was a last minute addition to that film, right?
Yeah.
Because Kirsten Dunst was like, "What if you just use my husband?" And they're like, "Who's your husband?" And she's like, "You know, the guy with the really big hat from that Scorsese film."
She said filming that scene was incredibly disturbing.
Yeah, she fucks that guy, and he was throwing people in the body pit.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah. It was a little disturbing.
Yeah.
Oh, we love you, Jesse Plemons. Please don't kill us in the Civil War when it breaks out.
Loved seeing
what kind of American are you?
The movie John, 4.5 stars and then 5 stars on Letterboxd for Civil War.
Wait, they gave it both?
Yeah. Ben gave it 5 stars. Rosalie gave it 4.5.
Why 4.5?
They didn't really explain. There was a lot of thinking going on with that. It's a heavy movie. It's fucking
yeah.
Heavy.
I don't need to see it again. I loved it.
It's very heavy.
Like I told you, I think it was the Dolby surround sound that really. I was very jumpy.
I don't know. Whenever movie critics that I like have the same opinion that I do, I feel special. I don't know.
I need to look at other people's reviews on Letterboxd. I'm a narcissist, I think, because I just only look at my reviews.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like looking at everyone's reviews.
Okay, that's fair. I have some quips in there, but, you know, some days you can tell I'm being lazy. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine to be a little lazy. It's fine to be a little Letterboxd lazy. Patreon, weekendateffies.com. I haven't put the Patreon over yet on the episode. Now, I did not have merch, which is rough.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a new city.
Yeah.
Debut. People want my stuff. But then I walked out for this match. There's already a bunch of people wearing my merch. there's already a bunch of people who've seen me before, who've driven hours and hours to Texas and Arizona and Los Angeles and all over Las Vegas. They've found ways to see me because they never thought I'd be in Albuquerque. But then where was I? I was in Albuquerque. Now here's what's cool. I don't know her name, their name. I got to meet the person who has the matching Effie is Fine head tattoo.
Ooh.
Now I will say this though, to the girl that took the picture of us together. The point of us taking the picture together was to show both of our tattoos together. And you fucked it up. Okay? You're the only person who took pictures of it. And I said, make sure you get both of our tattoos in, which is why we're taking this picture, because we have matching head tattoos. And it's just me looking straight forward and them looking to the side. And it does not show both of us showing our tattoos. You dummy. Okay? Mm. I don't want to be mean to people who are fans and excited, but that's dumb as fuck. There's one reason this photo is being taken. It's because we have the same tattoo on the side of our head. I would like to show both of us with the tattoo. Now, some people would say, oh, but they know you have the tattoo. So it's you're showing her tattoo. No, I want to show both of the tattoos.
Yeah.
You fucked it up. It's trash. We're going to have to try it again. We're going to have to do this again. We're going to have to come back to Albuquerque, which we are. Confirmed. I don't know the date yet. We're coming back to Albuquerque. But first, we're coming back to Arizona, to Phoenix in June. June 14th in Denver. June 15th in LA, June 16th in Phoenix, and I will be at this Phoenix show. I was not at the first Phoenix show. You know why? Had another booking. Busy guy. If you don't give me the dates in time, I won't be there. But guess what? Brett gave me all of the dates through 2025. I will be there. If there's a show announced, I will be there. Some of y'all, probably not people listening to the podcast, some of them, they probably don't want me there anymore. Guess what? The people want me there. Okay? I gave a speech at the end of the match after Blake Christian cheated, after Mance Warner cheated. I said, listen, some people would say, I quit and I quit match. Why would I get a championship match? Did you politic? You know about politicking?
Yeah.
That's when you like go to the boss and you're like, here's why you should pick me. Ooh, oh. Politicking. It's frowned upon somewhat in wrestling, although it's very effective. But I said, I didn't politic. The people politicked. Because they're sick of Blake Christian. They're sick of Mance Warner. And they want a real champion that represents GCW. Okay? I was hoping Joey Janela would win the belt. And if I won the belt, who would I give a shot to? Joey Janela. Okay, because we're both marvelous wrestlers. We would have a great wrestling match. May the best man win, truly. But in this case, the worst man won. Okay, Tony Khan's play toy won. All right, and guess what? Nothing I can do. Nothing I can do but wait for my chance again. And you know what? If Mance cashes in and gets the championship, good for him. Because I'm going to beat the shit out of him, and I'm going to take it. How's that? How's that sound? Does that sound threatening? Mm-hmm. Let me say it like this. If he takes that championship, I'll be the first one to put him in a grave. I'm not burying him with the belt. I'm keeping it for myself. How's that? Well, I was like, I'm doing auditions for my new voice acting bits. Uh-huh. So we finish the show. We get back to the room. We hang out. A lot of us are hanging out. And we do not have to fly out until 5 o'clock the next day, which at first I was like, I want to get home. But then I was like, I never hung out in Albuquerque, New Mexico before. So me and Manders and Dark Sheik went down to Old Town in New Mexico, where the buildings are from the 1700s. And they've now been repurposed into the identical same gift shop 100 times, which I'm really into. So we went around, went shopping, picked you out a cool, it's a church incense burner made by the natives. They say, I can't prove it. Oh yeah, we're holding... Look at that. Look at that. If you have the Patreon, you can see it on video right now. It's a church incense burner. It's beautiful. With piñon, which I couldn't figure out what piñon means because I'm an idiot. It's pine. It's a very specific New Mexico pine, but it is a pine in itself. We wander this town. We check it out. And I said, oh, look, there's an ancient church with a convent with a museum gift shop. We should go check that out. So we go in there, and we're looking at all the newfangled Catholic goods and treasures. And they've got these anal beads with a cross on them that they called a rosary. I don't know. Looked pretty fun to pull in and out. But we get to the back room where they've got pieces of the old church, the wood, the tiles, the hanging pieces, the bell of the church, the original church bell. And they also have the full laying body of Christ, which they had a security guard blocking it. But then someone rang the bell too hard, and the security guard ran away to the bell, so I snapped a little pic of me and Jesus. And I got to say, he looks hot. he should be in Tournament of Survival. If anybody could win a deathmatch tournament,
it's Jesus.
It's Jesus. Round three, you think he's dead? Nope.
Nope.
Back again. He is raisins. He is risen. Right?
You know, no one does merch like the Catholic Church.
Oh, they had so much merch. I almost got you a little St. Peter amulet, but then I was like, I'm not giving them any money.
Nah.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this is a cute joke, but also we worship the Dark Lord at our house.
They're also one of the only Christian organizations that still does actual magic, and I don't want any interference.
Plus the rape of children.
This is true.
I don't want to financially support them raping children.
Did I ever tell you about the Catholic grandmother that killed a tornado at a wedding?
What?
Okay, so I shot a wedding. It was like big outdoor everything, and there was a big storm that was rolling in. And I got there on the day, and they said, okay, so we're expecting that like shit is going to go down. Everything is going to have to come inside. We're basically just going to like watch the radar and see what's going to happen. The thing is, though, is the bride doesn't want to go ahead and, you know, just make the decision.
Just wait.
Which,
as long as
you know,
can.
That would be the normal thing, is you go ahead and call it so things still look pretty and you're not.
You
like,
have time.
Exactly. And so they're like, she's being a little stubborn on this. She doesn't want to move it. The reason she doesn't want to move it is because her Catholic grandmother came in and buried rosaries around the entire property, surrounding the entire perimeter. Okay. And
yeah, this sounds satanic.
Yes, 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 yes.
All right.
And
I guess it's not satanic.
We
I guess it's
watched, like, during a tornado warning, we watched the storm go right up to the line of the property and dip up and go the other way, and nothing got
touched.
Did
she say, told you so?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. What a little witch.
Yep.
Did they get her drunk afterwards on the blood of Christ?
I do believe probably.
Yeah, I would. I'd let her have a little bit of the Lord's Red after that. Now, is that more of a Cabernet or is it more of a Pinot?
Which is red. I don't know wines.
Well, Cabernet is red. Pinot's red. I was always fond of a Spanish Tempranillo, but Merlot, obviously, hated. I once was, I don't want to say dating, but consensually fucking a girl who... called Merlot Merlot. She said, I got us some Merlot. And I knew at that point it could not continue. and I'm not saying that's why I don't have sex with women anymore, right? Because they can't pronounce
it. But it contributed.
It definitely played a pretty major role. Because, you know, I'm not expecting men to pronounce wine. So, yeah, it's a little hypocritical of me. But she specifically thought she was doing something. Couldn't take it. Merlot. I got some Merlot. Oh, how do you get your dick hard after that? All right, this is getting out of control. I'm sorry. I flew home fine. I got here late. Me and Bebop cuddled. It was a lovely time. Albuquerque's beautiful. Now, we did go to the gas station at one point, and I got the Hawthorne berries covered in chili for us to eat.
Yeah.
They had Warheads so pickles for sale. I did not eat them. And I was also gifted a Quran by the gas station attendant.
I accuse you of manifesting weird pickles.
I've just started running into them. I've been a pickle boy. But yeah, we have a Quran now. So.
We do. There's nothing on top of it.
Nothing on top of the Quran.
The Mad Lib is underneath it.
I wanted to read it. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful copy.
Yeah.
And they also had one in Spanish that I did not get because I can't read Spanish. Mm-mm. So I don't want to just take things for taking.
Okay. Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul?
Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Yeah, Better Call Saul just kind of, it doesn't get there quick enough for me.
Oh, you're so wrong about that. Favorite Breaking Bad character?
You gotta pick one? I thought it all kind of works together like a brownie batter, you know?
You gotta pick one. Who's like, okay, you're a kid, you're watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you have to pick a turtle. Who's your turtle of Breaking Bad?
Oh, man. I don't like this.
You don't like it? What don't you like about it?
Because I just think it all flows together, you know? I'm not, like, showing up every week being like, can't wait for them to do their part.
But who...
Hank.
Hank?
Yeah, with his minerals.
Okay.
They're not rocks, they're minerals.
Yeah.
Marie, they're not rocks, they're minerals. Wonder who this Heisenberg guy is. I love it. He's so tapped in, but he's just a fucking idiot. I don't like Jesse Pinkman.
I don't like Jesse either.
I think Heisenberg's a little full of himself. You know, I don't think Skyler's as bad as people play. Also, okay, you know the guy who plays the like the big black security guard who lays on the money at that one scene?
Yeah.
He loves watching GCW.
Oh, does he?
He loves watching that GCW.
Rules. Yeah. That rules.
One of his friends was telling us how much
he
loves
so funny.
Watching GCW, and he's really enjoyed me and Mansur's feud. So, shout out. I don't know your name. Shout out. Sorry, Mr. Lev. I can't learn everybody's name.
I was Jonathan Banks, I think, is my favorite.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Mike.
Grindarella?
Mike Ehrmantraut.
Mike Ehrmantraut. Mm-hmm. That's why I thought Grindarella.
But I prefer Better Call Saul, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, I only watched the first two seasons, so I don't know.
So you didn't get to Lalo Salamanca?
No, I didn't get to anything.
Oh, my God.
Because it was whiny and slow.
Okay. In my opinion,
okay,
the best bad guy in the entire Breaking Bad universe is in the later seasons of Better Call Saul.
Okay. All right. I'll get back into it. But I don't have Netflix right now, so it needs to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I'll get you a copy.
Oh, yeah. You got a way?
Yeah.
Arr!
Fuck okay. Netflix.
Okay. WeekendAtEffies.com if you want to join the Patreon. We have a great movie episode this week where we talk about the People's Joker.
I love Netflix, and you should renew Dead End Paranormal Park.
Yeah, I don't care. The new book just came out, Dead India, The Divine Order, the third and final volume. I am featured as, well, I'm not featured technically, but they drew Asmodeus to look more like me. It's a beautiful book. I'm holding it up for the video audiences on our Patreon. And I have been given more spike vests and facial hair, and it's lovely. I think about 10 years has passed since the first or since the second book. Hamish did such a great job. It is beautiful. The book looks gorgeous, truly. I've not read into it all the way yet, but I'm very excited to because it looks. Oh, wow. I'm driving a bus. So hopefully this finds a home somewhere as a show. But if not, we have the book forever and it's going to be beautiful. I'm going to read it. Very excited. They did stick the fucking Netflix sticker on there. Is it a sticker? No, it's built into the cover. Wow. So I'm excited to see how things end. Excited to see what happens to our beautiful characters. Pugsley, Barney, Courtney, Norma. And of course, Asmodeus. He looks cool. Look at that. He looks cool.
Yeah.
I look cool. I'm cool in general. And so when he looks cool and I look cool, we're both cool. That's cool. And thank you for joining us, Nicole Kidman, who's now a permanent part of our show. Hanging on the wall here, Pitar, you did a great job. You did a great job. WeekendAtEffies.com if you want to ask questions, want to get the bonus content. We do have questions this week, do we not?
We have questions.
I love it.
Okay, this first one is from Julie. So sorry for missing this last week. I had a little Mercury retrograde brain slip. And also, congratulations, you made it through a Mercury retrograde in Aries, one of the most difficult Mercury retrogrades that we have had in fucking years. Yes, you and me and Bebop and Lucy. Congrats,
we did it.
We still have Shadow Period to get through, but...
kiss me on the mouth, Bebop.
If you'd like to know more about that, the Cranberry tier on the Patreon has the monthly astrology updates, and I will be
doing
the one for May... coming very soon.
Oh, good. Lovely.
May looks good.
May feels good.
Yeah.
And the end of April looks good. I feel like I'm in my groove now. I'm back at it. Mm-hmm. The cocoon is hatched. I'm a fucking legend. We're legends. Look at us go.
Okay, this is from Julie. Any advice on navigating friendships where you are friends with both parties but they don't like each other? I.e., you didn't take sides when a couple broke up. You think two people's beef is dumb and don't want to get involved in their drama, etc.
It's their beef, right? It's their beef. So I think you have to, I don't think you have to be diplomatic in any sense, but there's a neutrality to like, hey, my beef is not your beef. If I want to hang out with this person, I will. If you want to come hang out, they're going to be here. If you don't, that's your problem. Y'all can work it out if it's weird for you, but it's not weird for me. Like, the issues you have with this person have nothing to do with anything that happened to me. And if they want to make you pick sides or make you go a certain way, then they're probably not fun people to hang out with. And they're probably not the right people to be around.
Yeah.
And I think it's fine to make time for both parties, but also it's not your responsibility to stretch yourself to fit their narrative if, you know, you shouldn't have to hide that you're going to hang out with the other one if you're going to hang out with the other one. Hey, I made plans with so-and-so. Oh, well, then you must not be friends with me. I guess I'm not. You're right. You know, it's sort of that thing, and it sucks and it's hard, especially when you've known them a long time, but things happen. People change. And guess what? If you make it seem like they're idiots, then maybe they'll get over their fucking problems and they'll hang out as normal people again. And they probably need time, you know? And I'm speaking from a privileged place right now because I don't have any situations where it's like this, but I also don't have any situations right now where it's like this because I don't allow them to exist. I am so good at playing dumb. It's one, like, I love just being, I'm very smart, not always, and sometimes you say it's playing dumb, but sometimes you just go, no, I'm dumb to that. I have no interest in learning more. I don't want the gossip. I don't want the tea.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your side. I don't care. Yeah. If that's a thing y'all have, that's y'all.
Yeah.
I was not in this relationship.
Yeah, I was not
in this problem.
Totally.
Or like if somebody's beefing with somebody else, we're adults. If you can't just like talk out like, hey, this is a concern I have, or this is something that made me feel bad, or this is something you're doing that I don't like, and they can't work that out, you got no reason to be in the middle of it. You were no part of that. And it's very disrespectful for them to make you pick sides or make you be a part of their petty drama.
Yeah. 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 It's
IMO.
It's an adaption of not my circus, not my monkeys. It's not my circus, but both of you are my monkeys, so I'm not getting involved in the circus that you're
And also saying, hey, I enjoy hanging out with you, but not when you act like this.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah. You're not hanging out with me because you're hanging out with them? No, I'm not hanging out with you because you're acting like a loser. You weren't before, and now you are, and it's not fun. So just know that. The person you were is not there at the moment, and if they want to come back, that's great. But if they don't, then I don't want to hang out with this person. They're not the same person. Time goes by so slowly. You know who said that? Madonna. Every little thing that you say or do, I'm caught up. I'm hung up on you. You remember that song?
What song is that?
Every little thing that you say, I do. Mm-hmm. Confessions of a Dance Floor. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's the first time Abbas had that song, Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight referenced. I always think about that when I think about the drama. I love Madonna.
What's your favorite Madonna album?
Honestly, probably Confessions of a Dance Floor. Confessions from the Dance Floor. That one has Hung Up. That one has 4 minutes. It's got a lot of good ones on there.
I think Ray of Light is very
good. Ray of Light is very good.
You know, it's all about the Kabbalah.
Well, I'll tell you what else. It had that song that was in Austin Powers.
That's true. Yeah, that's so true.
That's why I was listening to it a lot. I was like, what's up, Madonna?
Wasn't her Bond song kind of mid, though?
Everybody's Bond song is mid.
Everybody's
name
Bond
a good
song
Bond
mid.
Song. Live and Let Die. Paul McCartney can suck my dick. He made a deal with the devil. Everything he does is it works because of that.
Wasn't the what's her face from Shirley Manson? Wasn't hers good?
What, sing it?
I don't.
Yeah, so it's not that good.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, this is
you
from
were young and your heart was an open book. You used to say live and let live. You know you did, you know you did, you know you did. You know that song?
Mm-mm.
So live and let die.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry, I should have cut you off. I got excited.
You know what? I'm gonna cut you off. What do you call a horny square?
What?
And a rectangle.
That's stupid. Thank you for cutting me off.
Okay. All right. For both of you, okay, this is from Danny.
Danny,
both of you, how do you like your movie popcorn?
Okay, so since I was a young child, my mother would not let me get butter on the popcorn.
Oh, God.
So I'm so used to not adding butter to the popcorn that I don't. And then the other day, I thought the salt was cheese, so I added too much, and then it was not good, and I was sad.
That's terrible.
I was like, ooh, cheese. That's and it terrible. Wasn't cheese. How about you?
I am not a popcorn person.
Hmm.
So with movies specifically, I do not want to require to drink anything.
Okay.
I've been tempting fate lately with ICs, but we've been seeing 2-hour movies lately, so I can get away with it.
Yeah.
Because to me, the first time seeing in a movie theater and going to the bathroom is like committing a sin.
I like it because then when I see the movie the second time, I go, ooh, it's like I got a bonus scene. But you know me, I'm chugging the largest size drink
totally,
and getting refills.
Totally.
Like, I'm just like, totally. Why do I have to pee so much? Is my bladder small? Then you drink a 64-ounce soda, son.
It's yeah, which it, we're doing Mercury in Taurus versus Mercury in Capricorn, where your Mercury is ruled by Venus, and so you go, give me as many snacks and as many things as I can get, to where I'm going, we're in church right now, there are rules about being in church, and I have to follow all of those. These are not imposed on other people unless you're on your phone, and then I will murder you.
When we went to see Monkey Man, I ordered a pizza flatbread, supreme style, a pickle, chocolate raisins, and a large beverage. Okay, so you're saying I'm proving my point.
Yes. Yeah.
You think the pickle thing is weird?
It's fine. You can have pickles. You're allowed to have pickles.
So crunchy. You like a pickle?
I love pickles, but
In the movies.
It's again. See, it's not. It's for me. It's always time and place. Everything is ruled by rules, and we have to follow those rules. But also, I know this is why I have a lot of anxiety about things all the time.
Yeah, maybe I could use a rule or two in my life. It's how I feel sometimes.
My whole thing is that I need to learn to break rules, and that's what I'm trying to do as a 30-year-old.
I think I need to learn to acknowledge that I am even breaking any rules, because I sort of float through like the King God sometimes, and I'm not doing it like I'm just. Like, oh, watch this, we'll just break all the rules. But I'm just sort of existing in this world where, like, I've never acknowledged the rules were ever there. Is it stressful for you sometimes?
It's
I'll make a scene.
That energy used to be stressful for me, but I understand that it's like exposure therapy in a way.
Yeah, you're being around me is some sort of exposure therapy.
That makes it sound.
No, it's fine.
It's more like you are an energy that is necessary in my life, and so it is you are of a benefit to
you're seeing that there's less consequence than you think, even if it's over the top.
How I view reality is everyone in your life is a teacher. They're a little mirror that you can learn something from.
I think you're a great teacher.
You are an excellent mirror.
Okay, good. I just walked in without anything but a towel on earlier and said, I've been putting coal tar in my hair. You want to talk about just not having any fucking rules in your life? I ate a pound of ground beef and I put coal tar in my hair. I'm not wearing clothes. Here I am to teach you.
What I do get nostalgic for though is dessert popcorn, like a cinnamon sugar popcorn, because my mom used to make cinnamon sugar popcorn and I used to love it.
That sounds
so
delicious.
At home I like it. I just don't have that often because it's also like I hate having shit stuck in my teeth.
It is a toothy, flossy thing.
That Zen made my mouth open.
Oh yeah, I don't blame you. I've always been a big snack person, but you see, you're also a Twizzlers person, which I respect highly. I got Red Vines last night seeing the People's Joker, and AJ tried my Red Vines and said, these taste like if Twizzlers were bad, and then said they taste like rubber. And then he said, give me one more. And he bit it and he goes, no, I'm right. Like he was going to give it another chance.
I think Twizzlers are more rubbery.
Yeah.
Than...
I think Red Vines taste like. It's almost like before candy was plastic.
Yeah.
Like it's you can just bite in and it's, I don't know.
You alternate between Twizzlers and Red Vines.
I do, for sure.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both are valid.
I think they're both valid.
And you know what? I really miss them having the pull and peel Twizzlers in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. But see, I'm also glad you haven't watched me eat pull and peel Twizzlers because I don't pull or peel them. much like string cheese, which I just eat. Sorry for not participating in the game.
That might you're gonna get to heaven and they go, you ate pull and peel Twizzlers the wrong way.
You don't think it's the satanic pledge? You think it's the pull and peel Twizzlers?
I think so.
Have you had the orange Twizzlers? Like orange dreamsicle Twizzlers? Pull and peel? Great.
When they put the stuffing in there, no thank you.
No, you don't like the stuffing?
No, thank you.
They remind me of the Sweet Tarts ropes.
Then have a Sweet Tarts rope.
Whoa. Okay, that's fair. All right. I love it. Any more questions?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. This is from Julie Alexander. How many continents has Effie been daddy on? And what are your ideas for conquering the remaining continents of the world?
Four: North America, Asia, Australia, Europe. What are the other ones? Africa, South America, mm-hmm. Antarctica. Mm-hmm. So South America, I would really like to wrestle in Brazil, Peru, Colombia. I think South America is doable. I still would like to spend some time in like Central America. I've never even wrestled in Mexico by my own choice. But I think I have to get over my concerns and just do it. I think Africa, I think the horizons are opening. I just saw Mansoor and Mace wrestling in Uganda at mm-hmm. Soft Ground Wrestling, which is sick. I have also seen a few of my friends offer different African wrestling. It does seem to be an environment that's opening up a little bit more. The internet is kind of a crazy thing. So I think that's going to happen one day and eventually. I'm not in a rush right now to do that. With Antarctica, though, I think we're going to have to, like, Metallica really set up a tour. But knowing how, like, headstrong Brett is about doing weird stuff, I feel like he's going to hit a point where, like, now he's trying to do Hawaii. We're trying to go back to Europe. We're going back to Japan again. We're doing all this stuff. I think eventually he's going to be like, fuck it, we're doing it. We're going to be the first, you know, outlaw wrestlers to do Antarctica, and then we'll just wrestle for the penguins and the scientists. I think that's fair. So I think it's doable. I think it's capable. Obviously, you know, marking continents off, marking countries off, these things are all cool. But I'm also in a phase of my career where, like, I would like to explore into these areas further. You know, I've been to Germany and the UK. I would like to go more into Europe. I'd like to see Belgium and France and Spain and Portugal. I'd like to wrestle. You know, I've wrestled a lot of places in Canada. I've not wrestled all places in Canada. I still like to go to Nova Scotia. I still like to go, I don't know, I guess just Nova Scotia and back to a lot of other places. Asia, I'd still love to wrestle in China and South Korea. Joey got to wrestle in South Korea, which is very cool. And now with Monomoth and Set Up Thailand opening some doors, I think Thailand, Vietnam, maybe Laos would be very sick. I know Malaysia has a pretty big population. I don't know about how much wrestling they have. So still, you know, like India, Pakistan, that area, Kuala Lumpur, mm-hmm. Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. I would love to wrestle mm-hmm. over there. There's so many wrestling fans in India. It's like massive over there. So hopefully that comes across. And then hopefully things, you know, lighten up for LGBTQ people in the Middle East a little bit. And
yeah, that's the only reason I'm not shouting for you to go to Kenya.
Yeah.
Because they just made it illegal to be gay there.
Well, you know.
Like last year.
You know, we'll figure out where's safe enough. But Qatar, I know, has a wrestling scene. You know, Saudi Arabia obviously has a wrestling scene. But, you know, you don't have to rush into things and be the first point of change. But I think that as things change over time, I'm happy to jump in. But I'm not going to risk my life or my job at this point more than I already am.
Right.
So
right.
I'm excited. I'm booked all the time. I'm busy. I don't, you know, necessarily need to go anywhere, but I'm excited to go back to some places. Obviously, I'm going back to the UK in July for a very short turnaround, but still excited. And then back to Japan, but news on that later. Pretty crazy Japan tour.
Ooh.
I had to work with HR a little bit on that one to satisfy my own needs. So we worked it out. It'll be all right.
Okay, last question. This is from Eric. What, if anything, makes Effie and Peter jealous?
I don't know. I mean, sometimes I wish I had more money. Sometimes I wish I had nicer things. But, like, also, I am afforded so many things in life that, like, yeah, I drive a shitty Buick. Or, like, yeah, we live in a kind of old, smaller house. And, like, I would take those things if I could still have the life experience I have over anything. I don't think jealousy is healthy in any way. I think being aspirational is one thing, but I don't think being jealous is going to help me in any way. And when I have been jealous in the past, it hasn't been beneficial to me, especially like in an industry where people are gifted opportunities that you're not going to get. You have one of two things you can do. You can be jealous of these people, or you can be like, how sick is that, that they got to do that thing? What cool things can I do too?
Yeah.
Not, oh, yeah. I should have been the one that got that thing.
Yeah.
What about you, Peter?
Yeah. Mine's a little bit in that same vein where, the thing that really gets me is when I see someone fulfilled an idea that I had that I didn't do.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of guilt and like shame associated in that, because I go, I know why that I didn't do it.
You didn't do the action.
I had the, just like the idea came to me. It came to that person. They followed through. I didn't. They got to have the thing. They got to move it forward, you know? Like, I see creative stuff as, like, anyone can have, like, 20 people wrote The Matrix.
Right. But who made The Matrix?
Exactly.
Wachowski sisters made The Matrix, made the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Having an idea is one thing. You're right. And I so will say
that is a personal motivator for a current project, for a project that I've had for a long time, to go, let's go ahead and get your shit together on this one, just in fucking case.
Do the action. Yeah. Do the action. I think we're also both speaking from a place where, like, I don't want to sound like this is day one for us either. Like, we've all had to do some personal growth to probably get through these things.
Yeah.
It's very easy to be jealous. And I think it's an easy first reaction. But I think also it's like, look at your blessings. Look at everything you have as well. You know, it may not seem perfect, but, like, I'm sure someone is jealous we have air conditioning.
Yeah, it's all relative. It's definitely all relative.
People we can rely on to help us.
And like, my deep-founded personal belief is that I have all of the puzzle pieces for the life that I actually want. They're just not arranged in the correct order. And that's what I'm doing over time, is putting that picture together in a way that it actually makes sense. But I have everything that I need. There isn't anything missing. We just have to configure it correctly. And that takes time and effort and reflection.
But I also love that I'm satisfied currently. Like, obviously there's things I would want, but I'm satisfied currently. And also, I couldn't tell you what my life would look like in a year ago. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no prediction to this looking like, I wasn't like seeking this out specifically, but here it is. And it worked out really well. And I look different than I thought. And I act different than I thought.
Yeah.
And I'm living in a different situation than I thought. But, like, it's all like, positive effort forward has seemed to present situations that, although not predictable in any way, have been satisfactory to what I am looking for.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah.
Well, don't be jealous. It's not going to help you. But you can gel us with some Patreon money by going to weekendateffies.com and listening to all the cool bonus content, watching the video content, and sending your wonderful questions. Plus, you can see these wild dogs. The video this week is going to be great because the dogs were just going nutso.
Uh-huh. Yep.
What a fantasy. I'm going to go over to AJ's house and eat salmon. Like, I haven't eaten enough flesh today.
Hell yeah.